Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a division of the Department of Labor, has been in the habit of overstating the strength in the labor market for years. But this has finally started to change. The July payroll report showed that the unemployment rate was 4.2% and there was just 73,000 jobs created. The 73,000 jobs were indeed a disappointment. But the exciting news was not found in the headline number. The two-month payroll revisions is where the fireworks came from. Those revisions showed a whopping 258,000 less jobs were created than originally reported in those 2 months. For in 2 months, they overreported jobs by 258,000. Not only that, but there was a 38,000 person drop in the labor force and a whopping 260,000 jobs lost in the household survey during that 1 month of July. Now, the president's reaction was swift. He fired Bureau of Labor Statistics Commissioner Erica McIntarfer. Hours, just hours after the agency reported that the job growth had slowed to almost zero in May and June. But it was still 73,000 in July. Now, Trump had this to say, and I'm going to quote him. "I was just informed that our country's jobs numbers are being produced by a Biden appointee, Dr. Erica McIntarfer, the Commissioner of Labor Statistics, who faked the jobs numbers before the election to try and boost Kamala's chances of victory. We need accurate jobs numbers. I have directed my team to fire this Biden political appointee immediately. She will be replaced with someone much more competent and qualified," close quote. Now, if Trump fired the director because of the Department of Labor's history and the Bureau of Labor Statistics history of overstating the strength of the labor market, he would be completely justified to do so. I'm all for it. This agency is terrible. However, to fire her because she alone faked the numbers and quote unquote rigged them to hurt Republicans is ridiculous. Of course, he is correct. The BLS is terribly inaccurate. I can't underscore that enough. The BLS is terribly inaccurate at collecting data, and the Bureau needs a massive overhaul, period. But by making it political, he is falling down the same rabbit hole as he is when he's talking about replacing the Fed chair with a presidential puppet, a Fed chair that's not going to be replaced because he destroyed the purchasing power of the dollar or created massive asset bubbles. He's replacing the Fed chair because he's not lowering interest rates fast enough. As mentioned, the May and June jobs growth were revised down by 258,000. If the Bureau of Labor Statistics was intentionally underreporting jobs to harm the president or Republicans, it would initially underreport the jobs and then revise them higher when far few people were paying attention. Instead, what the BLS has done is significantly overestimate the jobs initially and then having to revise them lower ex post. Now, the following is what the BLS reported as job growth under President Trump. 111,000 jobs created in January, 102,000 jobs in February, 120,000 jobs in March, 158,000 in April, 19,000 in May, 14,000 in June, and 73,000 for July. The initial job growth number for May was 144, and June was 147, but the 144 became 14, and the 147 became just 144 became 19, and the 147 became 14. So, if the BLS's 2,000 employees conspired to lie about the data to hurt Trump, then why report such big numbers in the first place? Wouldn't it make more sense to just report bad numbers while everyone was paying attention and myopically focused on that first Friday's initial report? Also, if the BLS and Labor Department were playing politics to hurt Trump, then why Should they report that initial claims are, why wouldn't they be reporting that initial jobless claims are spiking? And yet instead we find the weekly initial jobless claims number to be quiescent. And the president bragged about having the greatest economy of all time in his first administration, and it was a very good economy. Solid non-farm payroll data all throughout Trump 1.0 served to support that assertion. You know, good headline jobs creation, falling unemployment rate. So did the BLS suddenly turn against Trump 2.0? Is that what we are to believe is happening? Again, of course, I agree with Trump that the BLS's birth-death models are a joke. The average revision for 2025 is for a minus 77,000 jobs per month. They are terrible. So yes, changes must be made at the BLS, and she has to go. And so should a lot of people be fired and replaced by maybe more and better people. I don't know. But the major problem with the department is that it habitually overstates the health of the labor market. It is the opposite of what Trump accuses it of doing. He should be seeking to improve the data output from the Department of Labor. By making it political, we are now going to be able to no longer trust the data. The new commissioner will either be a puppet of the president or at the very least feel a great deal of pressure to boost the initial numbers even more just to keep his or her job. Just when the BLS finally may be getting a bit better at reporting how weak the labor market actually is, it will now be forced to reverse course and return to over-reporting the strength of the labor market and make revisions much less accurate. Very, very sad. Now, I was very clear in my predictions that the deportations and border closures would slow down the growth in the labor force. It's exactly what's happening. And tariffs or taxes, which are now at the largest level since the Great Depression of the 1930s. The level of tariffs will be about 7 times higher than last year, and the tax increase will be about $600 billion per annum. And don't forget, the level of prices has already impoverished most Americans. The level is so onerous that it's bankrupt most, you know, most of the country has little or no net worth. And now we're having a tax increase on top of that. The weaker economic growth has led to slower job growth, and the BLS is finally being able to capture that slowdown. I have also been predicting for decades that the U.S. was heading into a banana republic state. But I am no longer making that prediction. That is because the prediction has sadly become a reality. Banana republics can be identified as nations that display massive debt and deficits. Well, we have $2 trillion annual deficits in the good times, $1 trillion in interest payments alone. The debt to GDP ratio is over 123%, very banana republic-like. Banana republics also have central banks that do the bidding of the head of state. Whatever the prime minister or president wants done with interest rates, that's what they do, or they lose their head or they get fired. And we were going to have a presidential sycophant come May of 2026. And Banana Republic's economic data can't be trusted because it is designed to flatter the administration. Sadly, the U.S. checks all those boxes. Okay, so here is some more evidence for the existence that our historic equity bubbles have become maniacal. Retail investors share in the options market has exceeded 20% for the first time in history. Options are normally used by institutional investors to hedge long positions and portfolios, but now they are being used by small individual investors to get more leveraged long speculative positions. 20% of the options market for speculators on the individual side. 490 of the 500 companies in the S&P 500 have had zero earnings growth since 2022. It's only a handful of tech companies that are showing any kind of earnings growth. U.S. tech stocks have soared to a 100-year high relative to the S&P 500, with the Mag 7 stocks accounting for 35% of the U.S. total stock market capitalization. The total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP is now 220%, the average of that ratio is under 100%. This is the most overvalued and overly concentrated stock market in history, and by a lot. Our inflation, deflation, economic cycle model still has us long the market, but getting ready to sell. Credit spreads and financial conditions remain positive, but on a second derivative basis, they're starting to turn a little bit less so. Therefore, we remain overweight short-term bonds, which soared in value last week on the BLS's revisions to reality. We also remain long precious metals and defense stocks, this parts of the market that are working and have less volatility profiles. The market could be setting up for a correction soon in September, is a likely month for it to begin. The catalyst would be a weakening labor market in the context of rising consumer prices, which would send a growth shock in the economy that the Fed cannot easily respond to by aggressively cutting interest rates due to that stagflationary impulse. And if the Fed were to respond by slashing interest rates while we had that stagflationary impulse, it could be very damaging to the long end of the bond market. Because cutting interest rates aggressively when inflation is still a problem to rescue a staggering labor market could lead to spiking long-term bond rates. As always, we will lean on our 20-point model to keep us on the right path.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.